welcome to MTF's This Is Africa, the filmmakers podcast for anything and everything film in Africa. We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Serene Serena, screenwriter and filmmaker.
And I'm Nikita Neomokware, trained actress and screenwriter. So today we'll be looking at African films, new opportunities to keep an eye out for.
We're also going to be talking to Nadine Ibrahim and learning more about her works and her view on the future of film in Nigeria.
Girl, another day, another woman in film telling us about her wins.
The progress is really showing.
It's showing. It's starting to show. It's starting to glow. And it got me excited.
Me too, man.
So
oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Please, it must keep happening. So then, speaking of, remember we spoke about the film called The Man Who Sold His Skin, right?
Oh yes. Oh my gosh. The last time that we talked about it, it was shortlisted to be nominated for the Best International Feature Film at the Academy Awards.
And now it's chosen. Yeah. It's officially nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Official. It's official.
That's amazing. Yay! Congratulations to
Congratulations.
The team.
I mean, to be honest, like, are we surprised? I mean, first of all, the title alone. And then you move on to the premise.
Girl. No, it's so powerful. It's so out there.
I mean, who would have thought, like, who would have thought of something like this, right? Like, you know, the story of a man who essentially sells his skin to be tattooed and turned into a work of art, that, and he's then transported and showcased around the world. Him, himself.
That's not even the half of it, though. Remember how the whole reason he even agrees to it is to get a visa to travel to Brussels, where his ex-wife was taken and married off. So it's essentially a rescue mission.
Girl!
Let's talk about that.
Girl!
I love the fact that it's even deeper than you think.
It's deeper
First of
than
all,
that.
The title alone is scary.
I'm telling you, bro. The man who sold his skin. You're like, oh my God.
And then there's a twist to the whole thing. I'm not just doing this out of fun. I'm doing this because I'm finding the woman I love.
Exactly. And you're just like, oh, there's layers to this. It's an onion. It's an onion. And you're just zoop, zoop, zoop.
And I'm pretty sure it's going to make us cry.
It's going to make us cry. That's what it is. That right there. There it is. It's just, it's so interesting.
And let's talk about those visuals. The turquoise spelling robe that he walks in.
You mean the bathroom robe?
That robe. I mean, and it's only, we only saw like that bit in the trailer. I want to see all of it. That looks so good.
Archie looking like the bluest of waves on that sold skin of his. Girl!
I mean, I was impressed when I heard the story. I was sold when I saw the trailer. But that bathrobe.
Sealed the deal. I completely hear you. I hear you. Yep.
No, the Academy made the right choice when they were nominating it. That's all I'm going to say.
And as if that weren't enough, the whole point I brought this up is because, can we talk about the director, Kautha Benhania, who is also a woman in film.
Can we also talk about how this is not her first Academy Award nomination?
Hey! Lay it on him, girl.
Let's talk about Beauty and the Dogs. That's her best known film that was released in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It was selected as the Tunisian entry for the best foreign language film at the 91st Academy Awards.
So, like, she's talented. Okay?
And she's getting the recognition. It's amazing.
Man, and she's so happy about it. Like, I love that despite everything she's achieved, she brings it back home, you know? Like, she said that she sees the Oscar nod as a source of African pride, you know? Like, look at us. We're worth looking into. We have good stories to tell. And we're telling them. And it's about time that people start noticing them.
Right? And I have to agree with her. It's always such an honor when you're able to represent your people on a global platform like the Academy Awards.
I'm telling you. Especially for a minority in the film industry, like women directors.
Exactly.
Specifically women directors. You know?
I really just can't wait to see more and more take the stage. Because it's definitely happening.
It has to happen, man. And like another female director we're keeping an eye on is Nadine Ibrahim from Nigeria, who we're happy to have with us today for an interview. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for letting us have you. Thank you so much. So please, you know, introduce yourself. Tell us, like, you know, who is Nadine?
Okay, so I'm Nadine Ibrahim. I'm a female filmmaker from Northern Nigeria, based in Abuja.
So how did you get started with film? Like, especially as a female filmmaker, what was the journey like, you know?
Yeah, so I've always had an interest in film, growing up watching, you know, TV shows and films. And I've always kind of had an interest for how it's all been made. So when I went to university, well, A-levels and university, I decided to pick it up as a full full-time course. And that's how I really learned the craft of filmmaking.
So congratulations are in order. Your documentary, Marked, has been picked up by a major streaming platform.
Thank you. Thank you. biggest news of my career yet.
I love it. And we're here for those highlights. How does it feel? How does this moment feel for you?
Well, it's amazing because I get to, you know, showcase my work to an international audience, which I mm-hmm. guess is every filmmaker's dream.
I mean,
so it was a bit overwhelming at first. It was a bit overwhelming at first, you know, because you think, okay, how is it going to be received? Are people going to like it? But so far, it's been great. And it's been really exciting.
Beautiful. And that's all we want to ever hear, you know.
Exactly.
We want to see that progress. We want to see that growth. I mean, I'm really happy for you. So can we talk about the film? Let's talk about Marked. What is it all about?
What's it about? Yeah.
So Marked is about scarifications in Nigeria. So initially, actually, Marked was supposed to be a whole West Africa thing because the practice of tribal marking and scarification is way beyond Nigeria. It's all around West Africa. But we decided to focus on Nigeria, one, because I'm from here, but there were so many stories to tell from my country. It's about the process of scarification, how it came to be, how people feel about having it, and how other people react to people that have it. So I just thought it was an interesting topic to explore. It's something that we see on many people's faces here in Nigeria, but no one really knows the story behind it. Sometimes you see someone with like really dramatic marks on their face and you really want to go up to them to ask, why do you have this on? But you know, it might be seen as a bit too forward. So I just thought, why not do a documentary and, you know, get the answer for everyone that's ever wondered.
Oh, can I just say thank you on behalf of everybody?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people struggle with the process from pre-production to distribution. And like, I feel like it's something we should talk about. Just like, how do you go about it? How do you bridge that gap from after your stuff is done to now looking for people to, you know, invest in, to invest in it, you know?
So, we actually made Marked, I think 2 to 3 years ago, and I submitted it to so many different festivals trying to get the, you know, the recognition that I thought it deserved. And it was a long journey, a lot of rejections and no's. Mm. And then I reached out to one of my friends and asked if they had any, you know, links or if I could, you know, submit my work. And so I did that through a friend, and then I just got a confirmation email that, you know, they liked it, and you know, we explored that option.
So it was just about like applying to wherever and whenever you could.
Yeah, well, it's a really confusing process. So it's about submitting it or letting the right people see it, I guess. And with me, what I did was I have, thank God, I have some friends in the industry. So what I did was, you know, sent it through to see, you know, if anybody, you know, thought it was interesting or worth, I guess, seeing. And before I knew it, it clicked. So I guess the right eyes saw it.
Yeah, so it speaks to how important networking is
exactly.
in our industry.
Yeah, those connections really do pay off in the end.
Mm.
Yeah, it really does. Networking is something that nobody talks about as much, but it should. And I think even with me right now, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm going to try and do more of. Mm-hmm. Not just within Nigeria, but the whole world, really, the whole film industry in the world.
Yeah, globalization has made it so easy for us to connect across borders, and we need to take advantage of that.
We totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, technology has made it so much easier now. I mean, look at us having this phone conversation.
Right?
I mean, you know.
Literally from two far ends of Africa, opposite ends of Africa. I think that's amazing.
Exactly. There's so much that networking can honestly do.
So while we're talking about, you know, how growth is nowadays, can we also talk about the growth of Nigeria's or even West Africa in general, the film industry in Nigeria and West Africa? What's your take on its growth over the years? You know, clearly you've been at it for a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a tremendous growth in the industry, especially from where I see here in Nigeria, but also West Africa and Africa in general. We're being recognized nationally and internationally. We're seeing more of our films you know, at the Sundance Film Festival, Toronto, Berlin. So there's a lot of recognition, and I would say there's definitely a lens looking at Africa and our content. So mm-hmm. it's the best time to, you know, produce as much as you can, because I think all eyes are on Africa right now.
That's amazing. Is there any, I don't know, tips that you can give, like in terms of how do we exactly try to make the best of having all eyes on us? You know, what's the best way to ensure that our work is seen? And maybe what's the best way to make sure that our work is worth being seen?
Well, the first thing I'd say is to be original with your content. There's so much content out there and people trying to copy what they see. Mm. It's good to be inspired by what is out there, because how else will you know, what the audience wants.
Yeah.
But then just be original in your storytelling, you know. And then, like you said, technology has gone such a long way. So put your work out there. Take advantage of the networks you make. Take advantage of the platforms that are out there. And just push your work. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get a lot of rejections and no's, but you'll definitely hit that one yes. And when it's a big yes, it's great.
I mean,
so I guess just keep pushing your content out there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Nadine. Mm-hmm. It's been so wonderful talking to you.
This is so nice.
And congratulations once again. We're so happy for you.
This is such an achievement.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So then how can we connect with you? Like, how can we follow you, see what you're up to, et cetera, et cetera?
So I'm always on Instagram. I try with Twitter, but I'm not quite there yet. So Instagram is where it's at for me. Mm-hmm. It's Nadine Ibrahim Films.
Mm. All right.
Noted.
Very simple. Yeah. Awesome.
Straight to the point.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Nadine. It's been amazing.
Learned a lot. Thank you so much. Please keep doing your thing.
Thank you for having me.
And all the best in your future projects.
You know,
we really look forward to hearing more about you.
Yeah. We want to talk about you on our podcast again, because
yes,
just
please do.
Winning. Yes.
Please do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have yourself a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Well, that was a refreshing interview.
It's really interesting what she said in terms of Nigeria's film industry.
But like, it wants to grow. It wants to get better. Mm-hmm. And people are starting to tell. People are starting to be like, okay, we see you making moves. We see you doing the things.
I mean, take popular Nigerian filmmaker Steve Gukas, mm-hmm. who's been going out of his way lately to help out his fellow filmmakers.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so he's been posting calls for submission for directors and scriptwriters.
Uh-huh.
For directors, he asked for those that hadn't shot a feature film yet and are interested in making a movie as well as get paid for it.
Okay, so he's still looking for directors that are up and coming, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm assuming that they need some experience, though. I mean, they can't just be coming with an idea and a dream and that's it, right?
Of course, yeah. So, like, they need to have done at least a short film before.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. Because, like, listen, I'm a big believer in training and mm-hmm. experience. And, you like, it's just so frustrating when you hear stories of people who've never, like, you know, acted before or never picked up a camera before, and they get more opportunities than those that train or have more experience.
Okay, I mean, I get you.
You know.
But sometimes, let's be honest, it comes down to luck. Sometimes you're just at the right place with the right people saying the right things.
Yeah,
I mean, luck and talent, it's not always just like you're just fishing out. So, I mean...
Okay, but it needs to stop. Like in every other industry, you need certification or at the very least, past projects, experience. Like if you get to the top with neither, that's like borderline illegal in some cases. People are going to be like, nepotism. And it's like, it's over.
Okay, I get you. But I think it still happens though, because there's something unique about the creative industry, let's be honest. Because many of the cases that you get, it's also because of just that innate talent that you have, and that's usually why it then becomes a thing. But I get
it
you with the training,
the
I get
way.
You with the
yeah.
certification. I mean, I'm a fellow creator that you're talking to,
yeah,
so it is annoying to having worked
like
so much about it, so much for it, and then
yeah, because yeah. I just feel like it happens more in our creative industry than in any other. It's like you have so many stories like this, so many stories of actors and directors and sound people that are just like, oh, I just picked up a microphone one day and boom, dee, dee, boom, boom. Now I'm at the like top tier of all the boards that have yeah. to do with art and film and television. And it's just, it's not nice. It's a thing of like, especially now where we're at a point in the industry, or not even industry, but like we're at a point in the timeline of the world where it's more accessible to get training. It's more mm-hmm. like a lot of us, especially millennials, a lot of us are university babies because a lot of our parents grew up with that idea of, oh no, my child has to go to university. Yeah. So a lot of us have gone to university and a few of us have been able to go there to study specifically drama. And then you've got tons of workshops, tons of online workshops that offer the training that you need.
And nowadays they're free.
And they've, you know, especially with last year with COVID, a lot of them have been for free, or at least free trials. So it's like, you've even got the masterclass thing, you know, with a lot of the big industry names coming through and giving you a masterclass. So it's like there's so many opportunities for training that I honestly see it as an excuse than anything else. If you're just like, oh no, I want someone who's never acted before or never written a script before. It's like, why? Why would you do that when there are so many trained people out there who have trained to do this specific job for you? Why would you do that?
No, I hear you, but here's a little consolation. Bill Gates started his company in a garage. I'm just saying, it's not the creative industry. So,
okay, you may have gotten me there. But it's still frustrating.
No, I agree with you. It's really annoying. It's especially, like you said, when we're out here and we've trained for it. We've written, we've toiled.
We've toiled.
To get here. But you know.
And it's just like, just a crumb. We're not even asking for all of the Oscar nominations.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We just want to wake up every day and do what we train for because it's what we love.
True, you know? True.
But yeah, no. So he's asked for directors and you also mentioned writers, correct?
Yes, he's asked for both new and established writers for family content. Mm. But he also added, and I quote, "We aren't looking for stories for kids."
Okay, go off, I guess. We don't want stories for kids.
So I guess they're looking for stories that resonate with different age groups. Uh-huh. I guess that's a major difference.
I guess. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's really great to see that there are people doing things and making them happen.
I'm telling you. It's unfortunate, though, like both submissions have been closed by now. But, you know, you do follow him on Instagram, you know, at Steve Gukas. That's STEVEGUKAS. And, you know, to keep up with any more calls for submissions that he may ask for, especially if you're based in Nigeria. Because it seems like this is a habit that he's starting,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, every couple of weeks or every couple of months, he makes a call for that.
And that's beautiful.
And that's what we're looking for. As trained and experienced creatives, that is what we're looking for. We're looking for people we can follow that will give us, just as much as they're giving us, you know, knowledge and they're giving us experience, they're also giving us opportunities.
Very
need
true.
To help each other, yeah.
And in terms of global news, we heard that
Demon Slayer the movie is here.
Oh boy. This is your
Demon
time to shine,
Slayer.
Mickey. It's your time to
One
shine.
One of the most incredible anime series out right now has a movie, and it's finally hit our international waters. Thank goodness I am ready. I'm so ready.
You're really excited about this, huh?
I'm so ready.
Oh, God.
You know, it was like, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth.
I don't have a choice,
like, it was initially released in Japan last year, right? Mm-hmm. And it broke so many box office records there alone, bruh.
Ooh, man, as an animation film.
As an animation film is what I'm saying. Like, legendary, right? So, no, guys, because what you need to understand, remember last year it was COVID.
School as sneaky.
No one was making money. okay? But Demon Slayer was, and it was, they weren't just making pennies, okay? In Japan, Demon Slayer, the name for the film officially is Demon Slayer Mugen Train, and now it stands at more than $362 million and counting.
Okay.
In terms of international, mm-hmm. they've now, I think, passed the $400 million mark.
Whoa.
So it's done blockbuster business in most Asian territories. And in Australia, it became the first animated film to top the box office since Pokemon, the first movie, in 1999.
For real?
1999.
It's been that long.
First of all, Pokemon, the first movie. I mean, my fellow animation peeps can attest to this. We cried. That was magic. That was a masterpiece. We will never get over that film. You just have to post a gif of Pikachu crying. And we will all cry because we all remember that scene. We all remember why he was doing that, okay? It hurt. It hurt it. So the fact that Demon Slayer, especially with all of the wonderful films, animated included, that have come since, it's a big, big achievement for them to have broken that record, you know? And it's just like, it's... Where do I even start? It's just really incredible. So now everyone's just really excited about it, as they have been. And one thing I've noticed is that with these kind of films, right, they're normally easily pirated. Like at some point in time, you see pirated versions around them floating around.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
And then you just like ignore them until they come to your cinema because you're like, I got a support.
I'm loyal.
Loyalty. But surprisingly with this one, nothing.
Oh.
Nothing. Until recently when they hit international waters. Otherwise, Japan was like, zip, lip, dip, dip, mm-mm. It has been, this film has been existing since last year. And people are only starting, a lot of people are only starting to first see it now.
That's so crazy.
Now.
That's so crazy.
Especially in today's.
I need to know now. Let's talk about it. What's it even about?
Okay, listen.
Because I'm sure I know there's a series.
There's a
right?
top tier series. Mm-hmm. Only 24, what? I think it's, no, it's not 24 episodes. I think it's 26.
Okay.
26 or 28 episodes. So if you want to watch, please do. It's so good. I think it's also on Crunchyroll. But the series, like, covers a lot. So I'm just going to, like, touch
Let's talk
on
about the movie
the
then.
Film.
Yeah.
And basically, the long short of it is that there's a group of demon slayers, right? People who slay demons. And they're on a train. And they have to protect 200 passengers from demons that seek to kill them all. So it's like, and there's only like, from what I can see from the trailer, there's like maximum 4 demon slayers on the train.
For 200 people?
For 200 people.
And how many demons are we talking about here?
I think there's 2. There's the one, I saw the one, and then I saw the second one. The second one you see from the end of the last series.
But then I'm assuming just because it's 4 versus 2, it does not mean that 2 is that weak. Okay.
That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay.
They're top tier demons up in that train.
All right. I mean, I like the setting. You know, the fact that it's in a train, there's already so many restrictions about it, you know? And, you know, it places the characters in such crazy scenarios.
Exactly,
and there's like a possibilities
there's
of everything
trope.
Going
yes,
wrong.
Yes, there's a writing trope of it. We spoke about it where even Rick and Morty does it. Where they put their characters on a train. Mm. And then you just have that story surrounding that. It's a typical... It's a typical writing trope, or almost like a writing exercise that writers use, I think, to just like try and either revive their story or to just play around with their characters to see like, oh, what would they do? What would, you know, what would happen? So it's just really nice. And the animation is going to be amazing.
Obviously.
I can go on for hours about this. I need to shut up. But it's just, it's, oh, I am so excited about this film.
Now I'm excited. I can't wait to see it too. It's amazing.
It sounds crazy.
Well, you know, I guess you got your weekend's plan sorted,
you know
Demon
it.
Slayer.
You know it.
Well, another release to look at that came earlier this month is a documentary released by DW Documentary.
Yes, a YouTube channel dedicated to discovery and real-life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular documentary is about the life of the super rich in Central Africa.
It depicts some of those who've made fortunes amidst the chaos of one of the world's poorest countries.
Mm, many millionaires live in the Democratic Republic of Congo, including musicians, mining bosses, entrepreneurs, and preachers.
Mm-hmm.
So the film describes DRC as a failed state,
which is a political body that has disintegrated to a point where basic conditions and responsibilities of a sovereign government no longer function properly.
Give us that dictionary definition, girl! So yeah, no, it should be an interesting watch in terms of like the huge gap between wealth, the wealthy, and how society navigates it.
What I find crazy is the fact that such a huge gap exists in the first place, to be honest.
I'm telling you, like, there's so many social issues that all we as filmmakers can do is document them and, you know, make sure we speak on them
exactly.
At the end of the day. So maybe one day the gap isn't that big.
Or we can tell completely fictional stories that act like they're not political, but they actually are.
I mean, that's a discussion for another day,
and it's
but...
Like, it's up to the audience,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
to
so
put the
options,
pieces together.
So many options.
I love our job.
Oh, me too, girl.
And that brings us to the end of our episode. We got to learn more about African films making their mark in the industry. Their mark in the industry.
Marked.
See what I did there?
Nadine, did you see what she did there? But yes, and we also got to get excited about new opportunities being given to the Nigerian film industry, even if it's only in a small part.
Mm-hmm. Special thanks to our content contributors, Muchema Senkala, Amba Idonjesit, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, show some love for your favorite podcast by following MultiChoice Talent Factory on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us. Which countries will we cover next? Uganda?
Mozambique?
Egypt?
Ghana?
Tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same place, same time. I'm Nikki Neo.
And this is Serene Serena signing out.
Salang Sintle.